What's up, everyone? Erin Coscarelli back with you. Welcome to Believe in Rams, part of the Believe Network. Be sure to subscribe, comment, rate, follow this podcast. You can also catch us on Believe TV. And you know the drill, follow us on all the socials. All right, so we just finished the draft. We can all breathe a sigh of relief. We can put our GM hats off and kind of dive into these picks and really sort of analyze on a deeper level what they mean, what Les Snead and Sean McVay were thinking on draft. They had 11 total picks, and they went defense fairly early. Today, we have an awesome guest, Max Chadwick, who's going to be breaking it down for us. He is the PFF College Football Analyst. He's also a co-host of the PFF College Football Show. So he's pretty dialed in on taking a look at the college game and seeing how that translates to the pros. And I'm going to ask him all the questions. I want grades. I want good things. I want bad things. I want to see where they went right, where they went wrong, and really just sort of figure out what the Rams are going to look like, especially without Aaron Donald this season. So many questions. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, without further ado, let's welcome in Max. So Max, you are the PFF College Football Analyst. You are also the co-host of the PFF College Football Show. So you have your finger on the pulse when it comes to the draft and whose roster is looking mighty fine these days. And this is a Rams show. So I want to pick your brain, all things Rams. I think first question I have is like pulling out the lens and looking at what they did overall without getting into specifics. What grade would you give the Rams in terms of the draft right now?
Ooh, good question. So on the PFF website, we give out grades for all 32 teams. So I'll try not to stray away from my company's grading system. We gave them a B+ for the draft, which is pretty solid grade, honestly. And obviously, it's their first round pick in 8 years that they had this year. So pretty new thing to see the Rams picking on Thursday night. But B+, which is overall a pretty solid draft for Sean McVay and company.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can like breathe a sigh of relief because there was so much speculation, certainly in LA, what with the talk of are they going offense? Are they going defense? Obviously, the big void to fill is Aaron Donald. Were you surprised with that first round pick that they decided to go defense, or it made total sense to you that they were going defense in the beginning?
No, I totally anticipated them going a defensive player, whether that be a defensive tackle or a edge defender. They need help, I think, in that front seven on that defensive line. I think Jared Verse makes a lot of sense for them as their new edge defender. I think edge was actually a bigger need, even with Aaron Donald retiring. I still thought edge was a bigger need than the D tackle for them. So I really like the pick of him at number 19 overall. It's pretty much the range that I would select Jared Verse. And yeah, I thought they got a really good player and probably the best edge defender on the board. Because I thought he was the number two edge in the draft, probably behind Laia Tuilagi, who was obviously picked earlier than the number 19 overall. So yeah, Jared Verse, really good player for the Rams at number 19. I think you should be very happy with that one.
Should Rams Nation be happy that Les Snead gave up a pick for Braden Fisk?
I like Braden Fisk. I interviewed him, funny enough, a couple months ago, and he was an awesome kid. So you're getting a great person in that locker room. He's a really good football player, too. I thought that trade was a little crazy, not going to lie, giving up not only your second round pick this year, but your second round pick next year, only to move up for a second round pick this year as well. That was a lot, but obviously Les Snead has proven, as we just talked about, you know, haven't had picked in the first round in 8 years. He's proven that, hey, I only care about getting good football players. I don't really care about what the draft value charts say. So as an analytics guy myself, didn't love that trade, but he clearly loves Braden Fisk, and pairing him together with Jared Verse is never a bad idea either. So didn't love the value of how much they paid in order to move up for him, but I do like the player, and I think it was a solid player for the Rams to get at number 39.
Okay, so we've discussed the first two picks, which also we had Marshall Faulk on. Instant reaction, what he liked about those first two picks, of course, were the guys both from the same school,
right,
and that they kind of had each other going and being a rookie and going to a new team or a new city, it can feel really lonely. So he liked the synergy between the two former teammates now going to go play together in LA. My question, though, for you is that third pick. They decided to go running back with Blake Corum out of Michigan. When you mentioned Les Snead doing very well in the draft, Kyren Williams is an example of that. Do you think it was smart to have taken Corum when they have a guy like Kyren Williams in the running back room?
Good question. I think I don't hate it. I think you need more than one running back in today's day and age. And I think, you know, having Kyren and Blake in the same room together, which is pretty funny enough because they're both kind of undersized backs, I think it's a good room to have. And I think you need more than one running back in today's NFL. So I think Blake Corum or Kyren Williams, they're kind of going to be sharing backfield touches. Now, from a fantasy perspective, some people who love Kyren Williams are probably a little bit like upset about that. But just from an overall team building perspective, I don't hate it at all for Blake Corum to go to LA. Was not the LA team I anticipated him going to. I thought Jim Harbaugh would be taking his former running back at the Chargers, but I guess, you know, the Rams really did like him a lot more. And yeah, again, I don't hate it. Number 83 overall is around where I thought Blake Corum would go anyways. So it wasn't really a reach either. I thought it was a pretty solid pick by the Rams, honestly. I think, you know, getting another complimentary back to Kyren Williams is never a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get a little depth there. Help out Matthew Stafford. Okay, following that pick, round number 3, number 99, they go with a safety out of Miami and Cameron Kitchens. How do you feel about that? Because I think secondary was a point of need heading into the offseason for the Rams. How do you feel about his game, and do you think it's going to translate to the Rams defense well?
Yeah, I liked it. He's a ball hawk. You know, he has 11 interceptions since, you know, last season, which are the most of any safety in the country. The issue with him is that he had a really, really bad combine. And I think that dropped him on a lot of boards. But he's still a really good football player, and he's played at a really high level for a couple of years now. He battled some injuries this past year, but the year before he was one of the best safeties in the entire college football. So Cam Kitchens, I thought, was a good player that they got, and they needed some help in that secondary. So yeah, I think 99 overall, again, that's where I probably would have taken him because I like the tape a lot, and his tape alone said maybe second round pick. The combine dropped him to the third round and end of the third round at that. So yeah, I think Cam Kitchens, again, solid player. But that combine definitely did hurt his stock. But I still think he's a good enough player for the Rams to take and maybe be a starting safety for them next year.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the new defensive coordinator there now, Chris Shula. Raheem goes to Atlanta. So now they have Chris Shula. And do you feel, because, you know, the next question I want to get to is how you're feeling about all of the void with Aaron Donald and if the draft respectively did the best it could to fill the void, which is sort of impossible when it's a guy like Aaron Donald. But before we get to that, Chris Shula, what's your take on him? And do you think he's going to have fun with some of the new rookies that are in the building on terms of like the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I definitely do think that. I think he's a guy that has been in the Rams building for a while now. He's been there since, I believe, 2017. Yeah, he's been there since 2017. So like 7-8 years now. So he clearly has learned a thing or two from Raheem Morris. He was their pass rushing coordinator before that, and I thought they had a really good pass rush. So I think it's smart for Sean McVay, instead of going external to find a new defensive coordinator, promote someone internally and get a guy like Chris Shula in there. So, yeah, I like the hire a lot. And, yeah, replacing Aaron Donald is definitely a tall task when he might be the greatest defensive player to ever live. But they definitely did attack defensive line early and often in this draft. Not only the first two picks that we just talked about, on day 3, they still attacked defensive line. So I think they had the approach of, hey, you know, replacing Aaron Donald is going to be impossible. Let's draft like 6 players to make sure that that loss isn't as big. So I like that approach, honestly, because like you said, Aaron Donald's one heck of a player to replace.
Right. Not only are they replacing Aaron Donald, but they're replacing the head the defensive coordinator who did so well last year, obviously, and Raheem Morris, who now has a head coaching job. It's a lot of change. I think it's an interesting point you make that they stay in the familiar territory by promoting a guy that's been there, is familiar with the franchise, is familiar with the system, and you know, hand the keys off to him. Now, yes, you kind of talked about it. Aaron Donald, when we had Steve Weish on, he's like, you don't replace this guy in the draft. But what you do is you try to find a way to compensate. And when we had Marshall Faulk, which you should listen to, it was a very good instant reaction. And I love the way he sees the game. He said, you know, because we had talked after the first two draft selections by LA, he said, if they go nine more and it's defense, they still can't really figure out how to handle and solve the problem of Aaron Donald. You feel that they did as well as they could by addressing it. I mean, like you said, in the in round five, they got, like you mentioned, Brennan Jackson out of Washington State there. So you feel good. I mean, I think this is a Rams show. We, as the, you know, Rams loyal nation, like, all we care about is that the team is going to stay intact. And I think the biggest fear a lot of fans have is now that number 99 is no longer in the building, they lose that guy in the locker room and they lose, obviously, his production on the football field.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, Aaron Donald's gone. You get Braden DeFisco, who I thought was probably one of the top 3 to 4 defensive tackles in the draft. I really like Tyler Davis, too, in the 6th round. I think that was a value pick for them, another D-tackle for them to add to that room. He's been a really productive player at Clemson throughout his career. And they got to remember, I mean, Kobe Turner was awesome last year as a rookie. He really was a really great player for them. So, yeah, you lose the GOAT, but you still have some really, really intriguing pieces at D-tackle for them. And obviously, adding to that edge room, which, again, like I said, I thought – because of Kobe Turner, I thought that edge was a bigger need than D-tackle, even with Aaron Donald's retirement, because I really thought they needed a difference maker there, and they got one in Jared Verse, and Brennan Armstrong is a high upside player, too, in the 5th round that I'm excited. I don't know if he's going to be a starter for them. I probably won't, but I think he's a really good depth piece as well. So, yeah, they definitely attacked defensive line. I mean, taking 4 defensive linemen in their first 6 picks pretty much says that. So they knew what they needed going into the draft, and they definitely attacked that with some very good players. I don't really think they reached on any of them, honestly. So that was, I think that's a really smart play by LA to do that.
Yeah. And like you said, you know, last year they didn't have a first round pick, and so many of their, you know, Puka and Kyren, all of those guys, middle, late rounds, shows that Les Snead and Sean McVay kind of know what they're doing in terms of talent evaluation. Another question, as we kind of round out this sort of draft party, because now we can all kind of take our GM cap off and put our mock drafts away. A kicker. They got a kicker in Joshua Cardy from Stanford, round 6, number 209. Where do you rank him in the draft? And is he an under-the-radar type of guy? How do you feel about him, Max?
I am so happy you asked me about him because Josh Cardy, I was joking on, I was actually on the day 3 draft show for PFF. I was like, listen, there are like 3 maybe generational talents in this draft. You got Marvin Harrison Jr., you got Brock Bowers, and you got Joshua Cardy. Joshua Cardy is a special, special kicker prospect. He actually, over his career, so as you know, PFF, we grade every single player and every single play in every single game. Since 2014, we've been doing it for college football. His 97 career grade is the best we've ever given to a kicker. So he has been a dominant kicker in college football. He's 7 for 10 from 50 plus yards over the last 2 seasons, 34 for 35 from 49 yards and in. He's only missed 1 extra point in his career on 73 attempts. I think he's the best kicker prospect we've seen in the last decade. He actually wasn't even the first kicker taken. Will Riker from Alabama, who's also a great kicker, was taken before him. I understand it's not a sexy pick like another player would be, but Joshua Cardy, I think he's going to be a long-time starter at kicker in the NFL and a very, very good one at that. So I thought Joshua Cardy was a really fun pick. And like I said, I think he's one of the best kicker prospects we've seen over the last at least decade, honestly.
Wow. That's amazing that he was ranked so high. And, you know, at the end of the day, kickers can determine the win or the loss of a team. We've seen it happen many of times in the postseason, and nothing feels worse than a kicker missing a 1 point that could have changed the course of the game. Max, thank you so much. I'm glad that we had you on to get some instant reaction now that the draft is over. I can't wait. We have OTAs. Pretty soon, football season will be around the corner. You are PFF College Football Analyst and the co-host of the PFF College Football Show. Thank you again so much for taking the time, and we'll have to have you back on when you have time.
Absolutely, Aaron. I really appreciate you having me on.